You're listening to the Environment and Conservation Show on UK Health Radio.
We need to understand as human beings that we are part of this ecosystem.
We are nature.
In the forest.
I teach many people, you know, don't cut the trees.
Through their roots because of the relationship they have with living microorganisms.
They do lots of really important things in our ecosystems.
And there are cycles, natural rhythms, this planet that we're so interconnected with.
We really need help. The Amazon really need help.
I'm Bia Sharma, almost 50 years.
The indigenous need our help. They need our help now.
Medicine.
Wild Botanic Garden. It's actually flood-proof, bomb-proof and radiation-proof as well.
There's young people out here that are doing amazing things, and the press needs to fix up and start telling some really beautiful stories.
We can always make a difference.
We be the change.
Plant trees, they help us breathe.
We need more information. We need the information, and the radio and the television more. We need that all. Don't cut too much trees, because it's almost 2.5 million hectares we lost in the jungle a day. It's a lot. Well, you know, the animals in the Amazon, they need the plants, they need the fruit, they need the leaf, they need the bark. I need in the Amazon to send the teacher who's coming to the village, explain the kids, how they use the trees, the plants, how is the plant, but we don't have organization about that. Or teach about the in the Amazon about the plants.
That what we were doing was unsustainable. We were warned that what we were doing was lethal to our own future.
But the earth is our mother. And we are just abusing and wrecking her.
If we don't stand, who will? How much money do these companies need to make? When is enough enough?
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome to the Environment and Conservation Show on UK Health Radio. My name is Yara. You can connect with me via www.wildeyeadventures.com or connect via social media platforms. Just look for Wild Eye Adventures. So everyone, just to tell you a little bit about myself, I work predominantly in the outdoor industry, very much heavily involved in tree and forest conservation. Within the outdoor industry, I work as a wilderness skills instructor. That's like a bushcraft instructor. I spend a lot of time in woodlands sharing outdoor and environmental education to both young people and adults. And I absolutely love what I do. I love connecting people to nature and helping them develop their own personal relationship to the natural world.
What do you love most about nature?
Just the fact that there are loads of things to explore. Like, you can climb trees, you can walk around, you can enjoy the beauty.
As a survival instructor, you know, you're sharing predominantly the elements of survival. And what are the things we need to survive in the wild, everyone? Besides oxygen and human love and affection, we need shelter, fire, water, and food. Now, in the modern world, we use money to obtain these elements of survival. But bearing in mind all of these elements can be acquired via knowledge alone. Now, as a society and globally, we are living in a very destructive system. The way we economically develop causes a lot of turmoil towards communities and the natural world. People on the ground do not wish to be a part of a destructive system. No one wishes to carry that burden of hypocrisy on their shoulders. Perhaps live a lifestyle that is not harming our air or polluting our waters or destroying our forests. It is possible to exist on planet Earth in a less destructive manner. And if we look to history and the past at various civilizations around the world, whom depleted their natural resources, then invaded other countries for their natural resources. That path does not end in a positive manner. So let's not repeat the same mistakes of history. People on the ground are joining forces. Resilient communities are gaining empowerment. People are turning away from the effects of a destructive system and are finding different paths and avenues to get shelter, to create heat, to get water, and produce their own food. And I believe that is the empowerment. If it starts from within, if the change starts from within, people are finding ways to empower themselves.
Peace!
Positive
energy,
activity,
constant
elevation.
If you are interested in being interviewed on the Environment and Conservation Show, please connect. Email contact@wildeyeadventures.com or touch base via the UK Health Radio website. Perhaps you're an environmental activist that has been taking part in some protests. You have a voice, you have emotions and feelings you wish to share. Please connect with us on the Environment and Conservation Show. We are a platform to get voices on the ground heard. Or maybe you are involved in a campaign or an environmental project of some sort and wish to seek to raise awareness and spread the message. Get in touch with the Environment and Conservation Show. More power to non-governmental organizations. It always seems to be the people on the ground creating the positive change. The Environment and Conservation Show was set up in April 2021 as a means to raise awareness on environmental education, environmental journalism, activism, indigenous wisdom, eco-living, sustainable development, conservation, rewilding, reforestation, and all of those nature-loving aspects we need so more of in the world today. So on today's show, I thought it would be lovely to just go through some of the interviews that we've had on the past, some of the guests that have shared on the Environment and Conservation Show. You'll be hearing different snippets, as it's almost the 1 year anniversary of the Environment and Conservation Show. So just to share with you some of the amazing guests we have had on the platform, the voices and soldiers of nature. I hope you enjoy the show.
'Cause when you stop to think what nature's given, don't you think it might be time to give some back?
Hello, my name is Ben Woodruff. I am from Utah in the United States, and nature is so important to me because I feel like it's who we actually are. We build these wonderful artificial habitats, our homes and our cities, our vehicles, the internet, all these wonderful things. But actually, in truth, we are part of this world, and we're so disconnected from it in where we get our food and how we live our lives. And to me, going out into nature, camping or hiking or just being surrounded by a forest or a desert, especially walking barefoot, is such a wonderful way to reconnect and feel who we really are. There's this phrase of vitamin N meaning nature, and I really think that humans heal when we go into nature. It helps us reconnect, reground ourselves, and it's like everything's okay when we leave the artificial world and go back to our roots. And it's okay to go back afterwards to the city, but there is something truly wonderful and healing that transcends anything we've come up with in the technological world that we can only find out in nature.
Stefan's going to be talking and highlighting Shinrin-yoku, aka forest bathing, which is quiet contemplation time around trees and woodlands for mental health and well-being. Now, this form of ecotherapy has been growing. The Woodland Trust organization in the UK have been pushing it. It's made our mainstream media. And especially during lockdown, people have been gravitating towards the natural world for mental health and well-being.
So the actual term Shinrin-yoku means forest bath or forest shower, but it refers to having this total immersion experience in the natural world, and that involves waking up all of your senses. At the moment, we live in a culture that is visually dominated, so nearly everything we do is dependent on our visual sense. And because our eyes are so closely connected to our brain, in a way, we're overstimulating our sense of sight in driving, using computers in busy cities where we're having to cross road, cross streets and watch out for traffic. In so many ways, we are being visually overstimulated, which is having an impact on the brain. When we go out into natural settings, we experience what are called restorative environments. So a restorative environment is one where we're able to see a view or a vista, but we don't need to focus our eyes, our sight in a very direct way. So we are just looking out across at the landscape or across at the sea. And what that does is it has a tranquilizing effect on the brain because the eyes don't need to focus in on any particular thing. They're just gazing out. And what scientists have discovered is that that helps the brain to kind of reprogram itself back to a more restful state. When we go out into the forest doing Shimrin-yoku, what we try to do is to encourage people to engage all of those other senses that are shut down or secondary to sight. One of the exercises we do is to get people to close their eyes, and it's surprising how quickly those other senses kind of kick in to compensate for the absence of sight. And we begin to learn how to listen to the forest and hear all the beautiful sounds of the forest. Our sense of smell switches on because there are so many beautiful scents and aromas in the woods. And through a bit of foraging, we can find plants that are interesting to taste. There's many ways to engage with the forest through Shimrin-yoku.
The station that makes you feel good.
How good are vitamin C supplements? Usually only a small proportion of vitamin C actually reaches your cells and has a positive effect. Whereas the high absorption levels of Goldman Laboratories' liposomal vitamin C help maintain optimal vitamin C levels in your body and strengthen your immune system. Now get 10% off when you choose Goldman Laboratories' liposomal vitamin C capsules. Just quote 10 off at goldmanlaboratories.com.
Do you suffer from pain? B-Cure Laser, a home-use CE-approved medical device for the effective treatment of pain, is now available in the UK. The results of a double-blind trial has shown that B-Cure Laser offers a significant reduction in pain compared to the placebo group. To get your special B-Cure offer now, call free on 0808 501 5122 or Google Radio Pro London. B-Cure Laser. B-Cure Laser.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
The whole idea of plant intelligence, of really what is that, just to start, because science is even having a difficult time accepting that plants are intelligent. We think of sentience and aware of your surroundings, but not necessarily intelligent. So all of these terms, plant intelligence, plant cognition, plant consciousness, as you mentioned, are all ways of understanding that the plant mind, regardless of whether we're not talking about obviously a brain as we think about in a human way, but mind is in the sense of thinking, taking in input, processing that input, remembering that input, and making conscious decisions based on what that input has taught you, are all things that have been now proven that plants do.
We need more information. We need information. And the radio and the television, more. We need that all. Don't cut too much trees because it's almost 2.5 million hectares we lost in the jungle a day. It's a lot. Well, you know, the animals in the Amazon, they need the plants, they need the fruit, they need the leaf, they need the bark. I need in the Amazon to send the teachers who come to the village, explain the kids, how they use the trees, the plants, how is the plant, but we don't have organization about that, to teach about the, in the Amazon, about the plants.
Plants, not only do they sense the environment because they have many more senses than we humans have. We have 5 main senses, but plants have at least 20. And they use the senses to gather information. And then it's been shown that they actually have memory, and so that they can remember things. And then it opens the conversation of consciousness, where today we talk about human consciousness, everybody agrees on. Some animals, especially primates, we kind of all think they have consciousness. It's still difficult for science to admit that fish have consciousness or some, you know, insects have consciousness, but, you know, they're open to having the discussion. But plant consciousness, the idea that plants are aware of themselves and they know who they are as individuals and as a collective and can therefore act, is a whole new area that's being opened up. And it opens up a lot of conversation. It opens up a lot of fears also, like around our food supply, around the way that we treat plants and how we deal and work with plants. And should I rip up my yard? And do I step on the grass? And, you know, there's lots of questions that come to mind. And that's a beautiful thing, because it's a realization that we are in an enchanted world that is alive at every level.
One group is about indigenous rights, or about ocean acidification, or, you know, deforestation. But in the end, there is no single issue environmentalism. All these things are connected to each other.
But the earth is our mother.
Nature for me is everything.
I have a deep love for nature, and particularly that evocative notion of wildness, that unchained, unsettling, non-human state. Wild nature is truly self-willed and captures those feelings of awe, reverence for something bigger than us, something almost religious. We compare great forests to cathedrals, and natural landscapes inspire art and music. Edward Abbey writes, "Out there is a different world, older and greater and deeper by far, eliciting imaginations of a wilderness that make human time and space seem insignificant, a sublime place in which danger and beauty go hand in hand." But it is important to remember that neither nature nor wildness is without history. Humans have forged seemingly wild landscapes for millennia, and as Bill Cronin argues in his seminal essay, we too easily imagine that what we behold is nature, when in fact we see the reflection of our own unexamined longings and desires. Wildness is never pre-human. We have long been entangled with it. Nor has wild nature always been in equilibrium. Before the age of conservationists, and still, nature is in flux, so perhaps it doesn't make sense to speak of its timeless qualities. It is right to think of whose nature. The nature we value may be made up of things indigenous people value differently, or not at all. Whose voice counts when we expound wild nature? The world is changing fast in the Anthropocene. We must be wary of holding on too tightly to the wild natures we love at great cost to human and animal welfare, and ultimately the planet. Tentatively, I now embrace new natures and try to connect, while self-consciously drawing inspiration from preserved spaces and tightly knotted scientific tropes. This is me actively embracing the monsters of the Anthropocene, as Anand Singh puts it. I am learning to love non-native or feral animals, learning to live and let live with pine trees in deciduous woodlands, welcoming the fact that new natures may need to provide livelihoods for local people, relishing the weedy, scrubby brownfield sites in cities and on road verges, and realizing that our direct responsibility to the land should be here at home rather than out there on the plains of Africa, as has too often been the case since the beginning of the environmental movement.
Hi, I'm Ian Banyard. I'm the author of Natural Mindfulness, which is a guidebook to the healing power of nature connection. I believe that when we connect mindfully with the natural world, you know, when we get out into it, we see it, we're kind of present enough to see everything that's going on around us, like where I am here now today. When I'm aware of everything, I can hear, there's a bird singing around me, I can hear the breeze in the trees. When I'm in touch with nature, and I mean in touch physically, and I pick nature up, I can can put my hand on moss, on bark. I can, you know, hold branches of and feel the new life growing. But also when I'm in touch internally, you know, when I have this sense of beauty, of awe, of meaning to this space.
What are you getting out of some education in the outdoors?
Well, I feel really free here because, you know, you're not trapped in this four-wall classroom with everyone, all the pressure and everyone's bodies, like, creating heat. You're just out here just learning survival and just getting on with it.
In your classroom, you sit in your comfort zone, but if you go out in the woods, you have challenges to overcome, and so you step out of your comfort zone and you learn more, I guess, in the woods than you do in the classroom sometimes.
Why do you think we need to get young people back out into nature?
Well, I think that, you know, now we're all just stuck in our rooms on our games or on our laptops or something. We need to actually go out into the wild, learn useful skills like this, because you never know when you're going to need it or when it's going to come in handy.
I think most of us don't realise what's out there if you haven't really had an experience like this, because now I kind of forgot that there were so many different things in the woods. There are so many different species and things you can learn differently than what you're used to. And I think a lot of people don't realize that or forgot because they haven't been here for a really long time.
Indigenous cultures, they've been living in natural environments for thousands of generations and are often perceived as the guardians of the world's last remaining natural resources. They carry immense knowledge, adopting valuable education on environment, plant healing, sustainability and biodiversity.
But the earth is our mother.
It seems the human race doesn't really know its place. We thought we had the right, but we were wrong.
Higher powers that be, there seems to be a massive disregard towards the natural world in general. In societies and coming from higher powers, you know, like right now, there are tree protectors fighting a train line called HS2 that's ripping through natural beauty, that's cutting through 108 ancient, you know, irreplaceable habitats. Like, we're seeing it all around the world rippling, and it all comes down to the root that, you know, there's a separation from the natural world. I mean, we're almost living as if we're not a part of it or above it.
And that's right.
We might be operating by these man-made laws that are in existence, created, but at the same time, there are these natural laws, right? And they're always going on around us, and we're, you know, humans are nature eternally. So what we're doing to nature, we're doing to ourselves.
Everything on this planet, and as far as we can see, anything in the universe, we are so connected, and we're connected to it all. We're connected to every piece of nature, every piece of it. We're made from the same materials, and we don't seem to get that on board, that we've got to connect to all this life and protect all this life, because the human race seems to be the one that's got the technological advance, the intelligence to do that. And by not doing that, we are only going to destroy ourselves, and which is what we are gradually doing. And, you know, when the last rhino's gone and the last tree's cut down and the last fish in the sea is gone, you know, maybe then we realise we can't eat money. We have to have life, and life is what we need and what we have to have.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Galar Light is the quantum energy emitted from the universe, from the sun and stars. Now, Tom Palladino, a humanitarian and Scalar Light researcher, has created the world's only Scalar Light healing system, a system that can bring long-distance healing and wellness to humans, pets, and plants via a photograph. Get your free 15-day trial now at scalarlight.com or click on the Scalar Light banner on the UK Health Radio website.
Shields like masks are top of mind right now, but did you know you have inner armor working constantly to protect you from pathogens? It keeps you healthy and thriving. It's your immune system. Ion Gut triggers the body's natural ability to support gut strength all year long, so your immune system can protect you when you need it the most. How are you treating your inner armor? Visit uk.ionbiome.com to learn more. Ion Gut. Protect what protects you.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
If you think you are too small to make a difference, then you've never been to bed with a mosquito. That is an African proverb. But never underestimate the power that you can achieve as one individual. Also, never underestimate the power that you can achieve as a community. Creating positive ripples for community, sharing nature connection, teaching about plant life, animal life, teaching about the flora and the fauna, what exists in our outdoor habitats. An education we seem to lack. We need to push more outdoor education, more environmental education. It's rising. It is rising. And that's a fantastic thing.
We're not just doing this for our kids. We're doing it for everybody's children and their grandchildren. And that we're here for a purpose, and that's to protect the water. And we mean nobody, no harm. We're here in prayer.
Why can't you just respect my grandmother, you know? Respect my ways, you know? Your ways don't work. It's never gonna work. Because you got a money in front of you. And now you're to destroy us.
It is time to wake up and stop the destruction of the Amazon and other rainforests around the world in the name of modern civilization.
I come from a warrior family that protect the people, medicine people. Because me, I'm a Lakota. I'm a freedom fighter. You can't corrupt me.
We are the Rainbow Warriors. We're the warriors from the four directions. And the warriors from the Rainbow Warriors, the Warriors of Light, are all of us that are awakened. And they've been calling upon us for, in this very, very sacred time now, to stand up and to do what we can to help the planet, to join forces with them, because they need our help. The Indigenous need our help, and they have been holding the prayer and doing the sacred rituals for the earth and to carry the earth forward for many thousands of years. But now they need our help now. They need us to step into our power and to remember our magnificence and to do what we can to help.
My ultimate goal is really to encourage people to feel a connection to the natural world.
We must keep nature close to our hearts. Teach our children to love nature for the survival of humanity and all life on Earth. Max Planck quote, "Science cannot solve the ultimate mystery of nature, and that is because, in the last analysis, we ourselves are a part of nature and therefore a part of the mystery that we are trying to solve." Another quote by Gaylord Nelson, "The wealth of the nation is the air, water, soil, forests, minerals, rivers, lakes, oceans, biodiversity. That is all there. That is the whole economy. These biological systems are the sustaining wealth of the world."
We really need help. The Amazon really need help. The nature really asks.
Because when you stop to think what nature's given, don't you think it might be time to give some back?
If we can educate young people about the necessity of protecting the environment, then hopefully they will grow up to be respectful adults and they will learn to treat nature in the sacred way that it deserves.
The planet can live perfectly happy and will continue for billions of years to come very, very happily without us. It is we who the planet is probably fed up with.
People who were post-operative had a quicker recovery time if they could see out of the window of their ward than the people who couldn't see out the windows. So it definitely has an impact on our health and well-being. And yeah, if we can just, even just seeing out the window, looking at the sky, looking at the trees, and if we can see some birds out of our window, that has a massive impact on us, because it connects us, not only connects us to the natural world, but it somehow connects us to our brothers and sisters. We're related to birds, we're connected to birds. And so when we see them out the window doing what they're doing, we become absolutely fascinated by them. One of the main discoveries that they made in Japan was that trees, all plants, but trees in particular, release these volatile organic oils that are called phytoncides. And the word phytoncide actually means exterminated by the plant. So these phytoncides are released by trees in order to protect themselves from attack by fungus, insects, herbivores. It's a chemical repellent. When we go into the forest and we breathe in the forest air, we take these minute particles inside us. They go inside our lungs and into our bloodstream, and they have the effect of enhancing our immune systems. So the substances that trees produce to protect themselves from attack, when we breathe them in, they contribute to us protecting ourselves from attack by cancer cells, viruses, bacteria, etc. Our immune systems are enhanced by the forest atmosphere. And a day's walk in the forest can boost our immune system for anything up to a month afterwards. So that's one of the main findings. There've been many others as well, how the forest environment lowers blood pressure and heart rate, how it improves our capacity to sleep and to get deeper sleep and more restful sleep. The phytoncides also have an impact on our metabolism. So not going into too much scientific detail, but actually being in the forest can help us to lose weight and also has an impact on metabolic disorders. It helps us, this is one of the main key findings, is that being in the forest helps us to move from the sympathetic nervous system, which is our fight or flight response, into the parasympathetic nervous system, which is our relax and heal system. So the more we move over to the parasympathetic nervous system, the more efficient and stronger and healthier our bodies become, because we're able to relax more, we're able to heal, and we're able to digest our food much better. So these are some of the impacts that being in the forest has on us. There are many, many more, but those are some of the main ones.
Inside of me, there are those other 15 senses that plants have. Can I access them? Can I activate them? Can they teach me how? And the functions of nature and how nature creates and the ethos or the overall ecosystem that nature uses.
But if we all want to live in the way that the West lives, we will require five planets. Five planets. There aren't five planets. The planet can live perfectly happy and will continue for billions of years to come very, very happily without us. It is we who the planet is probably fed up with.
You know, the jungle is an amazing place. It's got an abundance of wildlife.
It becomes very important for the animals.
We really need help. The Amazon really need help.
There's just a treasure trove of undiscovered plants and different things that could be of value.
The biggest thing we're up against, though, is capturing this knowledge before it disappears.
For me, it's very important the jungle now, because they send the good air for all the world. Don't cut too much trees.
Lost tribes mean if we don't get our act together, they will be lost, the forest will be lost, and us as well. We need to protect enormous swathes of forest, which in doing protects the watershed, which in doing fights climate change.
But you have to remember that some of these communities are dependent upon the jungle all the way around them.
When you see that, even though we know cutting down forests to a large degree is a bad idea, primary forest, it still continues, and people know it's bad, but they still do it. The stakes are pretty high.
Thank you so much for listening to the Environment and Conservation Show on UK Health Radio, your feel-good radio. My name is Yara. If you'd like to connect with me, please visit www.wildeyeadventures.com. You can connect on social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Look for Wild Eye Adventures. And on Instagram, it's wildeye_adventures.